Blind Cool Tech, April 25, 2007.
Blind Cool Tech, where fun.
I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology,
the world is
anybody there.
And blindness.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
And all come together.
Hey, y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skupcon, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Today, I'd like to talk about petting, as in petting your dog. Scott Howell sent in a great voice comment, and just like to respond to that and explore that a little bit. Before we do, though, I just want to let you know I had a great time over in Arkansas this weekend. We drove down Friday for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary celebration and attended that Saturday. And then drove back Sunday. So it was a short one, but it was a good one. Left. Good boy. I left through the side door where I work in. I'm walking up the street that runs next to the building. It's a very cool afternoon. It was much warmer this morning. Somebody told me it was supposed to get down to 40 tonight. I didn't hear the weather this morning, though. We had some pretty good rain and thunder showers this afternoon here. So I may be hitting a few low-hanging branches. I'd like to go ahead and play Scott's feedback, a comment, and then we'll talk about that.
Hello, Larry. Scott Howell here. I'm just leaving a comment on, it's podcast 551. Wow, imagine that. I guess my comment, take it for whatever you like. I guess I should preface my comment. This is in reference to petting dog guides and the like. I respect anyone's position as far as whether they allow or not folks to pet their dog. I suppose from my perspective, at least in my opinion, dogs should never be petted while they're working, simply for several reasons. And I think first and foremost, some dogs may not be very distracted by petting and so on, but personally, I don't feel as though I'm running a public petting zoo, and I really don't have much interest in meeting folks that way. I don't let people pet my dog. I'm sure my dog could handle it, but that's my preference, especially, I don't like the fact that folks come up and pet your dog without even asking. That's disrespectful, and when they do ask, I just very nicely tell them no, and the reason why. The dog, I know people are going to take this the wrong way and probably get their hackles up, but the fact is the dog is a tool. And the best thing to do is allow the tool to do its job. Yes, it's a living, breathing companion, and I'm all for that, and I understand that. And I, treat my dog as though he's obviously a partner of the team. But by the same token, he's got to focus on what he's doing, or she, or whatever the case might be for your dog. But I want my dog focusing on his job, not on getting affection from other people. I feel that the dog should be getting its affection and attention from the handler, not from strangers on the street, and, you know, even my wife doesn't even interfere with him while he's working, and she doesn't play with him extensively at home. You know, she understands that we have a partnership and that I'm his primary person, and I'm responsible for him, you know, primarily. And, you know, she'll help care for him when I'm either unable to do so, or you know, she might want to take him out every once in a while. But she doesn't even walk him around the block as he's a pet. You know, she realizes that, I mean, she could if she wanted to, but she chooses not to because she knows that he's a working dog, and that's his primary function. So when I say a tool, I mean, in other words, his primary function is a dog guide. Above and beyond everything else, that's his job. You know, that's why you have him. You know, at least that's why I have my dog. Secondary is obviously he's a great companion. Obviously, those things are very tightly woven. You know, because of the relationship with the dog. I guess you could also equate that with like police officers. I mean, generally, they don't allow people to pet their dogs while they're working because you know they don't. It's a little different situation, but it's sort of the same principle, you know. It's you're interfering with that bond between the handler and the dog. And I guess the whole rambling point is here is that it all ties back to the fact that the dog should be getting its, you know, praise and its affection and so on and so forth from you, the handler, not from anybody else. So, I mean, however, you know, if you let people pet your dog, that's your prerogative, and certainly that's, you know, quite all right. You know, I don't tell people my dog's name generally in those cases, and I figure that just removes, you know, the opportunity for them speaking to him and distracting him. You know, like I tell people, he's basically, you know, he's a part of me. You know, he's like, you know, an extension of my arm. You know, he's we're basically one. So I guess that kind of, you know, how you'd best describe it. So. In any event, that's just kind of my comment. You know, I'm sure that'll not make some folks happy, but hey, you know, it is what it is. So there you go. Have a good one. Take it easy. And good job. These podcasts are doing real well. And I certainly do appreciate all the listening to all the submissions. And you're doing a great job, Larry. Have a good one.
All right, Scott. Thanks for the comments. You make some excellent points there, and I really must emphasize that, well, in the broader scope of things, I'm no expert with guide dogs. I'm only an expert in the fact that I've been using them 25 years, and the things that I do may not work for you. And I'm not referring to this petting situation. I'm talking about in general. So, you know, every dog and every handler is an individual. So you have to do what works with your dog. Now, with the petting, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you don't want someone to pet your dog, I mean, it's your dog. You should feel absolutely no obligation to anyone. And you're right, you don't have to be a representative for the public or anything. I really do it because it doesn't bother my dog. He seems to enjoy it okay. Now, I would never tolerate him seeking out attention, you know, veering off course to go get a pet or a treat or anything like that. I mean, if I had that problem, I would immediately stop that behavior. And you know, you may never want to start it. In fact, the schools recommend that you don't. And there's really not a lot more to say about it than that. You know, I think, for instance, that, I, you know, and I'm not saying anyone's dog is under more control or less control or anything. I think it's good training for a dog to get distracted by things like that. You know, if my dog's actually working and someone reaches out and pets him, I expect him to totally ignore that and just keep walking. And if that's not what I get, you know, the dog will receive either a verbal or a leash correction. Now, I mentioned the other day, I don't do leash corrections very often at all. And that's going to depend on your dog, too. You know, Jake's a stubborn cuss, but he also really loves to please. He loves to do his job well, and he likes it that I'm proud of him for what he's doing. A good boy. So, you know, this petting, it's definitely an individual situation, and no one should feel that your dog is better or worse because you allow petting or don't allow petting. I really wouldn't feel the slightest hesitation about not allowing it. I only mention things like that because, you know, I'm just conveying the way that I do, you know, my policies and procedures on the way the world interacts with my dog. And like I said a minute ago, this is no way endorsed by the school, or any school for that matter. And I probably shouldn't make comments about how to work your dog, but I do. You just have to take into account that
hello.
Hi, how are you? You just have to take into account that you know, I'm doing things a certain way. And I really wouldn't even vary from the school's prescribed methods until you've been using a dog, preferably a couple of dogs over a 10 or 15 year period. It really, believe it or not, it really takes that long, and it takes a couple of dogs to kind of get the generalities of handling a dog. And again, I say, you know, I'm not perfect by any means. I've been lost with the best of them. In fact, I think I've probably been on a couple of podcasts lost. In fact, this morning on the way to work, I was thinking what I should do sometime is take some alternate routes into work, like some leaves, low-hanging branches. Some routes that, you know, I've either never been on or never been on with Jake. There's probably not that many roads in this neighborhood that I haven't been on one time or another. But there's a lot of them that Jake hadn't been on yet. So we'll make it a point to do that. Someone the other day had a great idea on the comment line about recording hybrid vehicles in a couple of different situations and different speeds. Maybe record the car going by you. I did a little bit of looking into this. I don't know anybody that has a hybrid. I don't think, or at least I don't know they do. So if one of you has an opportunity to make some good high quality recordings like that, that would be, I think that would be a powerful demonstration of the problems involved with a car that's totally silent. Now, for those of you that don't know, the hybrid vehicles are these newer cars. I know Lexus and Toyota. The Toyota Prius is probably one of the first ones. Honda makes one, Ford. They're cars that have both a combustion engine and an electric motor. And the idea is that you use electricity when you're in town at slower rates of speed. I've heard the combustion engines will kick in at anywhere from 35 to 45 miles an hour. And I think that is adjustable for your particular driving habits and conditions. But as I was looking on the web for some more information about, you know, what the consumer organizations have done along these lines to address this problem of a totally silent vehicle, I discovered that this is actually a problem for sighted people as well. In fact, some of the hybrid cars' manuals caution the drivers about this situation, especially in parking lot situations where the pedestrians just are not hearing the sound of the car. And there have been some proposals about ways to make a blind pedestrian aware of these vehicles. And I'm not sure that I'm crazy about any of the solutions. You know, one of the things the car manufacturers have been interested in doing for a long time is lowering the sound emitted by a vehicle to reduce on noise pollution. So in recent years they've come up with tires that have less friction on the road, and then now without the sound of the combustion engine, you know, they've achieved a very silent car. So it seems a little unlikely that the manufacturers would voluntarily add some kind of noise-generating component to these things. But one other solution that I have read about a little bit is a device that a person would carry with them to identify these cars, either by some kind of electrical signal or you know, some kind of signature to the motor. But you know, I'm not that that's really a little bit less than a satisfying solution too, because you know, now you're relying on a piece of equipment that you may or may not have with you, that the car may or may not support, and that the device may or may not be functioning properly. It's a very serious situation, and I think probably one of the first steps toward coming up with some kind of solution to this is a good demonstration of the problem. And what better demonstration than an audio recording? So if any of you have access to one of those vehicles and some good recording equipment, please do a comparison for us and let us, I think it's going to be kind of scary what we hear or don't hear. So I was telling you about my trip to Arkansas. Apologize for not having any access for those few days. I will tell you too, I'll be out from May 21st through that following Monday. So Monday through Monday. So that'll be a week there that you'll probably not have a lot of casts in there. I'm going to try to take a little bit of time off. I've got a speaking engagement in New York on the 24th. So I'm going to try to spend a little time up around that area. And maybe try to do a few soundseeing tours. Might get a chance to go up into the Catskills for a while, so we should be able to actually get some good nature recordings as well. I was telling you, about my road trip. We Shelly's boyfriend, Shelly and Marley and I went up there, or down there, and I rode in the back seat with Mars on the way back, or on the way down there, and thoroughly enjoyed spending a lot of time with her and playing games and talking and having fun. So, you know, when you sit with somebody for 9 or 10, or I think that was about 11 hours worth, you can you can really get to have an appreciation for their personality. And I must say, I really enjoyed spending some time with Mars. Oh, there's a beautiful fragrance right here. Some kind of flower. Nice. So we got there probably around midnight Friday night. We didn't leave till about 1:30. But actually that would have been 1 our time, because they're on Central Time and we're on Eastern. But it was a good trip. Enjoyed talking with Michelle and Joe as well, of course. We bought lots of junk food. Isn't that one of the things that makes a car trip kind of fun? Have some good barbecue pork rinds. A couple of bags of Skittles. Well, Saturday was the day of the event, and we had photographs taken around 1 o'clock, and the big to-do started at 2, and Mom and Dad had about 70 people showed up, or was it 78, something like that. So Dad's brother and his wife from Nebraska drove in, and his niece and her husband drove in from Lincoln, Nebraska. Uncle Tony is from Pleasantdale, which is a very small community there, close to Crete, Nebraska. And then his nephew, who is a professor at the University of Texas at Austin, drove in. Or no, I guess he flew in Little Rock and drove down. But it's good to talk with him again as well. And I was really surprised. Somehow Julie, my older of the two sisters, she's the middle one of us three, got President Clinton to write a letter and send a picture, and also Governor Mike Huckabee, the governor of Arkansas. Now, Julie went to school with Mike Huckabee, so I don't know if she had an inside connection there, but that was quite a surprise. Oh yeah, somebody else that showed up was a guy that Dad met when he got stationed to Germany in 1960, I believe they said it was, and they had stayed friends for years. So he came up. That was neat. But I think that one of the highlights, besides getting to visit with everybody, oh, my mom's sister from down in Ville Platte, Louisiana, and two of her daughters from Opelousas and Thibodaux came up with, actually Monique Grove and Aunt Rose and Alice and Alice's daughter. Whoa! Barely caught myself on that one. Slick spot, like real silky mud on the sidewalk. Must have slid a couple of feet there. So they came and it was really good to talk with them too. But one of the highlights, hey, besides the company and the good food and everything, was I don't know if you'd call it a memories book or what, that my sister Julie pretty well coordinated and put together. And what she did was went through hundreds and hundreds of photos that Dad and Mom and Dad and their friends and family had, and tried to kind of put together a sort of a life. Started out, you know, with old pictures. I think there was one from 1926, even before my dad was born. Hello. And, you know, pictures when they were kids, and then my mom's family, and them together as, or then, you know, them as a young adults later on, and then them married, and then every significant and, well, pretty much a lot of significant events in their life, and each of their children and grandchildren. It was very, very nicely done. And you could tell there was a lot of work put into that. It just wasn't pictures glued on a page or anything. It was very nicely decorated and written out. And one of the nice things she had in the back of this book was she had asked people to share their memories of my mom and dad. And it was really neat reading those. Especially, I thought, from some of Dad's nephews and nieces who, you know, were closer to his age or a little younger than him, and just seeing their impression of Dad when he was young, and I thought it was pretty funny. It was very touching. And in fact, there were several in there that were very touching. My nephew Randall probably wrote one of the best ones, I thought. They were all good, though. So, Jewel and Care both, I really got to hand it to you. That was one beautiful celebration. It was amazing. Well, I must say, one of the more interesting aspects of the trip happened to me at home. It seems to be suffering a little negativity from my next-door neighbor. And I'm not going to give you any past history on some of the negative things that this woman has done, but I've mentioned to you the other day how she kind of got on me about mowing over one of her flowers she had actually on my property anyway, but you know, I didn't mind flowers there. Well, here about a few months ago, she says, I'm going to put up a privacy fence, and my land goes 6 inches on your side of this retaining wall between our property. And I just kind of blew her off, because I know that when we did the survey on that land when I bought the house, the property line was right. I mean, the retaining wall is hers, but the line is right there. Well, see, what was it, Thursday? Get home from work, and she's got this fence going up, and it's like more than 6 inches in from the retaining wall. And so I talked to the guys, and I ended up calling them. No, this was Friday. Just started on it Friday, because we didn't leave Friday till that afternoon. And I got to thinking about it, and I called the guy up, and I said, you know, I don't even know this woman's name, or I didn't, which is how bad of neighbors we are, which is really a shame. I've never, ever had any kind of animosity with any of my neighbors anywhere I've lived. But I gave the guy my phone number and asked if she would like to discuss, but I was concerned that this fence was on my side of the line, and I didn't want it. Well, got back Sunday night, and she had moved. They had moved the fence over. So I told the guy again, I said, well, you know, I never had heard from the woman, but I'm still concerned that this is on my line. But I had to call the mortgage company to get a copy of my survey. I couldn't find it, which is going to take 10 days. And I was going to suggest that maybe she wait until this survey come in, because I'd hate to have to make her tear it down. And you know, I'm not unreasonable. I wouldn't mind the fence there, but it creates a very narrow spot between a bush and that fence that you know, I'm just not crazy about. Besides that, it looks stupid. Interjecting a little editorial comment there. But, so he gave me her phone number. I mean, he told me, he said, well, I looked at her survey and it says it's 6 inches from that stake. And I'm like, well, why did they put the stake there then instead of 6 inches over? And he said, I don't know who put that stake there. And I told him I do. It was my surveyor that put it there back in 2001. Excuse me. So he said, well, I'll let you guys discuss it. So he gives me her phone number, and I call her up, and I pretty much said the same thing. and just left a message because she wasn't home, apparently. Well, about an hour later, she comes knocking on the door. And she would not let me get a word in edgewise. You know, I just wanted to tell her that my survey didn't show that. And I'm a little suspicious, too, because she had a second survey done. You know, she made it a point to tell me she paid $275 for the survey after she bought the house. And I'm like wondering what was wrong with the first survey. But she didn't even give me a chance to tell her anything. She just suggested that I get a new survey. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I tried to ask her about this, why she wanted this fence. And one of them was she thinks my dogs are vicious. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, they have barked at her. In fact, I'm thinking very seriously about trying to find another home for Fred because of this situation. You know, if they're bothering her that much, I probably really do need to do something about it, whether there's a fence there or not. And I actually fully expect that fence will come down. I just hate the animosity. I mean, she was so nasty, it's unbelievable. But as we were, or as she was talking, you know, she finally just went stomping off without even giving me a chance to say anything about my survey. And, you know, I tried to tell her, I said, well, look, forget the fence. Can we at least be, you know, amiable toward each other or have a little less animosity? And all she said was, I'm putting the fence up. Just stomping off. So that really struck me the wrong way, and well, it's just not necessary to be so negative like that. And you know, one thing she told me was, well, I've told you several times about those dogs, but she mentioned to me twice, maybe twice, that the dogs barked at her. And I really didn't know it was a problem. I thought she was just making a comment. Well, that also doesn't explain why she put the fence past the backyard all the way to the front corner of the house. And her explanation... Yeah, it's nice. How you doing? And, her explanation for that was she didn't like to look in my messy garage. And yeah, my garage has got junk piled up everywhere. Boxes. But you know what? So does hers. And I didn't know I was required to maintain a neat garage for her benefit. But, you know, I would have put some tint on the windows or something if it bothered her that much. But she won't even discuss any of that. In fact, I shouldn't do this by... What's the matter, little buddy? Good boy. Oh, good boy. That's it. What a good doggy. He is. But I did happen to, accidentally pressed the record button on my WS-320 while it was in my pocket, just so I could preserve the experience. And here's a little piece of it, just to give you an idea.
My suggestion is to have yours resurveyed, because if you go back there in the very back on your back fence, you'll notice the orange.
Hey, Debbie.
Yes.
You know, I wish we could be friends. And I mean, the fence, you know, I'm fine with the fence, of course. No problem. But I hate to have such animosity between us.
Well, it's the dogs. I cannot have the dogs and even me coming out, and when, especially even in the mornings when you let them out, when I'm almost getting to the car. When they come out, they literally scare me.
Well, I can do something about that.
I have brought this to your attention before, and nothing's been done.
Well, I will do something now. Well, see, there you go. I'm trying to be...
I am putting the fence up.
I know you are.
So I have come to the conclusion that, two things. I'm not going to go out of my way to try to meet any of her requests, like not mowing my part of the lawn, like she asked me to do one time, because I was hitting her bricks on her retaining wall, or the big limestone rocks with the mower. And also there's this area between the sidewalk and the street between our two driveways where she says, do you mind if I put some ornamental grass in there and then you won't have to mow that? And I thought, well, that's fine. Man, it was all I could do yesterday though to keep from dragging that mower out and just cutting that stuff down. But I'm not going to. I'm not actually going to waste any time stewing about any of the negative aspects of this woman. I'm just going to have to face the fact that she's a negative person. And that's that. She happens to be a nurse too, and I just pray to God I never end up in the hospital where she works at. But that's beside the point, I guess. I just decided though I'm going to not going to do anything. I'm going to wait for my survey, and if it is, as I suspect, I don't know how I'm going to approach her. I suppose I should take her approach and just tear the thing down, but I'm not going to do that. But I have been considering leveling out my backyard. And that has some implications with her retaining wall and how it would look on her side. But, you know, I'm thinking that I'm not going to worry about that. I thought maybe we'd cooperate so that it would look good on her side too. But I honestly don't care anymore. And, I probably still will ask her. But if she wants to do something in cooperation, but... I'm baffled at the negativity. This is her house right here on the left. She does keep an immaculate yard, but somebody was telling me, she's got junk all out in it. Statues and washboards and yard art. But, you know, I'm not worried about it. Let's end on a positive note. Like, fantastic stuff you guys are sending in. Please keep it coming. That's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Y'all have a great one.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.
Yes, ma'am?
Look, Mom is at work.
She went to work already?
And she's my mommy.
Can I have a hugs?
Yes.
What about kisses?
You already got me kisses.
I gave you one, but you didn't give me one. Are you ticklish right there?
No.